On this, the last day of the year, it's time to put 2002 into its proper place in history. The year 2001, of course, will be remembered exclusively for the terrorist attacks of September 11th. What happened in the calendar year that followed amounts to a continuing reaction to those attacks. The question is, how did life change? NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams takes us through the second year of the century.
Having been attacked in 2001, Americans used 2002 as a year of response. From music to politics, the fear of terrorism colored all American life. Bruce Springsteen created a musical tribute to the people who died in the World Trade Center. On the other hand, Ameri Baraka, another New Jersey resident and the state's poet laureate, set off a firestorm with his poem called "Someone Blew Up America." This stanza suggests that the World Trade Center attacks were a conspiracy that Israelis knew about in advance.
Who knew the World Trade Center was going to get bombed? Who told 4,000 Israeli workers in the Twin Towers to stay home that day? Why did Sharon stay away?
It was also a year of heightened fears and anxieties that stood in sharp contrast to the peaceful, economically flush era of the 1990s. The year 2002 will be most remembered for the Bush administration's declaration that Saddam Hussein cannot be allowed to remain in power. In his State of the Union address in January, the president identified a so-called axis of evil, Iran, North Korea, and most significantly, Iraq. There were terrorist attacks in Indonesia and Moscow, another tape of bin Laden, and it was the year that Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl was killed by Muslim extremists in Pakistan. Managing editor Paul Steiger.
Danny was an outstanding colleague, a great reporter, and a dear friend of many at the Journal. His murder is an act of barbarism.
Many experts were amazed that there was not another attack inside the U.S. in 2002. President Bush pressured Congress to create a Department of Homeland Security to better protect the home front. It was the biggest change to the federal government in over 50 years, bringing together 24 agencies and as many as 200,000 federal workers. Meanwhile, Charles Moose, a police chief in the Washington area, had to deal with terror of a different sort as snipers preyed on local residents.
Here in the Washington metropolitan area, we have a level of fear that we're not used to, but today it went down to the children.
In another drama that gripped the nation, 9 men in Pennsylvania were trapped in a flooded mine for more than 3 days.
We tried to outrun it, but it was too fast. Every way we went, we got trapped. At one time, it was over our heads because we tried to knock a wall out to try to let the water out, and then we had to swim out, like, and get back, you know.
All of the miners miraculously emerged unharmed. There were no miracles, however, for a Baltimore family battling drug dealers. Angela Dawson and her 5 children were killed when dealers set fire to their row house as the family slept. It was retaliation for Miss Dawson's efforts to expose drug dealing in her neighborhood. Mayor Martin O'Malley.
People have a very easy time blowing off another homicide that happens in the city of Baltimore. We rationalize it as people not like us. We can't do that where these little kids are concerned.
Fear of losing jobs, fear of declining stock market investments, and fear of losing retirement income also marked the year 2002. The Enron scandal was pushed off the front pages by more corporate wrongdoing. Kenneth Lay, former chairman of Enron, took the fifth before Congress. And on CBS, Martha Stewart didn't have much to say either.
I'm really not at liberty to say, and I think this will all be resolved in the very near future, and I will be exonerated. I know that ridiculousness.
In general, the American economy had a rough ride through 2002. Mark Zandi of Economy.com claimed the year-long trend was more than an economic downturn.
It's hemorrhaging from A to Z, from apparel manufacturing to vehicle manufacturing. We're seeing weakness in construction, in the transportation sector. The airlines continue to lay off. Most recently, we're seeing weakness in retailing.
Scandals were not limited to Wall Street. The Catholic Church was besieged for much of the year by revelations that the church hierarchy covered up years of sexual misconduct by priests. By the end of the year, Boston's once powerful Cardinal Bernard Law was forced to resign.
To all those who have suffered from my shortcomings and from my mistakes, I once again apologize.
In politics, the year will be remembered for 3 key events. First, the death of Minnesota's Senator Paul Wellstone, the Senate's most liberal member. Second, a Republican rout in the midterm elections that led them to recapture control of the Senate. And third, the controversy that led Mississippi Senator Trent Lott to resign as Senate Majority Leader.
When Strom Thurmond ran for president, we voted for him. We're proud of it. And if the rest of the country had followed our lead, we wouldn't have had all these problems over all these years either.
And there were people who left the national political stage with their own special flair. Specifically, the one and only Congressman James Traficant of Ohio. Traficant was convicted of demanding kickbacks and accepting bribes from businessmen.
I will go down in history as an expelled member, but you know what? I have a very clear conscience. I'm proud to be an American. I hate the government and love America.
We'll give the former congressman the last word on 2002. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.